Hello, everybody. This is Isaac, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, the special episode of Hour to Kill tonight. We'll have a guest here in a few minutes, but for now, it's just me in the studio going down the White People Music Hall of Fame. I tried to come up with a better way of phrasing it, but I do think that somewhat sums it up. I feel like I can give a big preamble of trying to explain what this is, but I feel like the most concise explanation is that it's songs along the same vein of the next song I'm going to play. It's stuff that's, So we're starting our journey with Don't Stop Believin'. I feel like it's one of those songs where you already have your preformed opinion. You love it or you hate it, but no matter what, I'm gonna play it. Here you go.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
Strangers waiting,
looking down the boulevard, their
shadows searching in the night.
That was Don't Stop Believin'. If you didn't already know, somehow. We're going somewhat decade by decade here. I feel like, almost by coincidence, that was the first song, but I feel like it's the most illustrative song for what we're going for. I've kind of broadly titled it white people music, but there's a lot of things that have been called white people music. These are all massive pop songs. That's the other major thing. And they're all kind of anthemic. A lot of these songs are songs I might have heard not as many times as I might think, but the lyrics just stick in the head. But most of these I've heard many, many times, mostly out of my control. Sorry, that's even more background. On to the next one. It's Uptown Girl, Billy Joel. Who doesn't love Billy Joel? I'm sure plenty of people don't, actually. I wonder what the Billy Joel Gen Z reputation is, actually, because he's absolutely... I don't know that he's one of those... Oh, he has 21 million monthly listeners, so clearly he's doing quite well. And but I just wonder how, like, if it's isolated to just those past generations or what the transition has been, if there's kids who heard it growing up that love it, if it's just, you know, if there's any Billy Joel truthers out there defending which of his albums are the best, or if it's kind of the same as everyone, where it's just they know the same few songs. Talking too much. This is Uptown Girl, Billy Joel. Do you have anything you want to say about that? On which mic is that?
Yeah, mic 4, and I don't like it. I think it's an annoying song. It gets on my nerves. No offense, Billy Joel. Sorry.
Listening, Billy. No, I. It is not my favorite Billy Joel song. I prefer Vienna. I think my favorite might be Moving Out.
I might have heard that. I probably have heard that.
But I am not a big Billy Joel truther. I don't know if that's an anecdote you want to share on air. You don't have to.
Well, so you were mentioning something about like the Gen Z people who like and are to put it your way, Billy Joel truthers. So I figured I'd share a story from New Year's Eve. Yeah, New Year's Eve, my friend had like a pretty small gathering of a couple of us gals, and her older brother was also home. So we're all like 20, and he's like 23, 22, 23, and he like wasn't he was participating in things that would render him a little silly for the evening, I'll put it that way. On his own, this is not like involved with what we were doing. He got to a point where he's like falling all over the place, and he kept taking the like aux and like connecting to the speaker that my friend Jess was connected to and playing his own music.
And did this music include Billy Joel?
It was like primarily Billy Joel. And this
at
is
a
like,
New Year's party. This
is what's
this
happening.
Year with all. Friends of his younger
of
sisters.
Of his younger sisters, who, like, we're not friends with him. I don't like him. He's annoying. It was
well, that's been communicated.
Yeah. It was just insane. Like, Billy Joel, this is the hill you're going to die on right now? I don't know. So that's my little sliver of people who like Billy Joel and are, like, roughly our age.
I'm just curious, because I know people here at Tufts who are, like, listen to stuff that I would think of as dad music, like Steely Dan, whatever, stuff like that. And I wonder, Billy Joel's obviously way bigger, but I also think of him way more like exclusively as like older, not like boomer yet, because it's like 80s.
Like, I feel like he's kind of boomery music. And
what's
he's
the one between
like,
that and millennial? It's Gen X, right?
Yeah.
So that's what he is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Although, I mean, my parents don't really like Billy Joel.
Well, I don't think it's universal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect, like, your dad to...
It's just, you know, maybe this is just because of the very narrow example I've been given in my own life experience, but it seems like the people who are our age and listen to Billy Joel are, I don't know how to put this. They live in the old world.
All right. Well, I have a final question for you. Do you like Bruce Springsteen?
I cannot tell you one Bruce Springsteen song, and that's like a crazy trait of mine.
You know what? I can tell you one right now. It's "Dancing in the Dark," Bruce Springsteen.
I probably heard it.
Okay, here we go.
All right, bye.
Radio's on and I'm moving round the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know. Just dancing.
I like playing that one as my Bruce Springsteen pick because it's, I think it's very, very unrepresentative of his whole career, but it's, it fits the what we're going for today on this hour to kill. That's the vibe for now. Yeah, I don't know if I have more to say about that. Out of like the big Springsteen like hit songs, that's probably my favorite, but he has several of those that I've not really listened to that much of because I'm not from New Jersey. I'm kidding. There's one song that I kind of miss because I've gone, this is going to be, the whole show is kind of vague progression through time, and so we just played some 80s stuff. I was thinking about playing Come On Eileen, but I think the fact that the last like 2 minutes of that are kind of what they are. That might be, if I do this another time, the same setup, which I don't think I will, that would make the cut. But I do have a song from the 70s, the early 70s, that I didn't play, from Elton John, that for some reason when I think of Billy Joel, I think of Elton John as well. They like paired in my mind, even though they made pretty different music, were kind of at slightly different, overlapping but slightly different time periods, and like very different like vibe to them. I'm sure that would not be a thing I would mix up if I was alive then, but from my perspective, I don't know. Anyway, this is Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life. I'm actually sad to hear that. I am sad to hear that. Thank you very much. Ballerina,
you must have seen her. No, you could...
Okay, good.
That was Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
That's awesome. How are you even going to, like, log that?
I'm just saying the artist is C-SPAN.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
I don't know what the right way... I don't think that's political content. It's just a thing the president did.
No, listen, you can, in an unpolitical way, you can observe the things that Trump did and
you laughed
laugh
so much harder
endlessly
at that than I anticipated.
Especially because I knew it was going to come.
Because I told you in the past, like,
it's so funny. It's just so good.
I hope you listeners didn't mind that little diversion.
Yeah, that was not Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
Well, it was playing in the background.
I didn't know that. I did. You're telling me now for the first time.
All right. Next up, we're going to make a massive jump in time. We're going from... That was... Well, actually, jump backwards, because that was from the year 2021. No, this next song is one of the most 90s songs, maybe the most 90s song of all time.
Let's go.
What do you think?
No, I don't know what it is.
It's Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind.
Oh, okay.
I feel like... Maybe the most 90s is excessive, but I feel like it is... That is the only decade, really the last few years of that decade, is the only window of time where this could have come out and then been massively successful.
Yeah, been big, yeah.
But I think it's really fun, so we're going to play it.
Thank you. on the belly face down on the mattress one. And you hold me, and we are broken.
Semi-Charmed Life. Do we have any? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't like it. I really. It's mostly just the do 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 do. It's just like
it gets in your head so well.
Like, how did you just go do 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 on a song and it became like so big and everyone loved it? Like, why? How did you do that?
That happens all the time.
But like, no. But this is like worse. It's just, that's it. That's the main thing. The rest of it's just like it's a cornball.
I think the main thing that I want to clarify also with a lot of these songs on here, and this is maybe the best example of this. In a different like state of mind, I can like despise these songs.
That's also
it just
true.
Depends on mood somewhat, yeah. And also I think like they ride a fine line of they're so catchy and so like can play for a big crowd of people, whatever, that it can also be like, okay, this is too sappy, this is too ridiculous, or this is too annoying.
Yeah.
But it can also be you just go with it. So I think they're easy to love or they're easy to hate, I think is my
right.
thought. Like that Third Eye Blind song, it's just I like the lyrics are just so it's just it's so like over dramatic and very like serious, and then it's just the goofiest.
I think it's like very easy to hate, much easier to hate than to like it, in my opinion. But that, I mean,
I think that's fair, and I think that even a song like that can still qualify for the White People Music Hall of Fame. Do you? Oh, wait, actually, you could just read that here, and then we get to a different note later.
I guess so. I was just moving it towards me. But if you like what we're doing here at 91.5 WMFO, consider donating. Go to WMFO.org and click our donations drive tab to see how you can help us keep it freeform.
Thank you.
Of course.
Very nice. This next song, I'm trying to think if this is... Okay, yeah, this is the same tier big as everything else. Maybe slightly below. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was not alive for this. It's New Radicals, You Get What You Give. I think... I have a couple, like, one-hit wonders on here, but this might be the... the best example of it, of
the
just
the one-est hit of the wonders.
Yes, of mm-hmm. I don't think they had, although I've heard other songs by them I actually do like, but this is also one that I could see it being. Parts of it are very stupid, but it's just very catchy. Anyway, You Get What You Give, New Radicals. That was New Radicals, You Get What You Give. I don't know. We don't have as much to talk about that one. I think that's one of those... That's so cheesily, like, optimistic, and I like it. And I also like the little rap... I don't know, section at the end. Up next, this one... So I did title this and promote this under the name of the White People Music Hall of Fame. And I do think there's a couple songs on here that... Like, Uptown Girl, I think you could debate Hall of Fame status. I just like it. That's the main criteria for these also. So they have to be, like, the big, anthemic, possibly annoying songs, and I also have to enjoy them. But this one is a little bit more of a stretch, because so far, as I am aware, at least, the artists involved have been also white. It is not just music white people would enjoy. This next song is technically by Santana, who is, he's Mexican. And, but this song is an example of, okay, how did he get his biggest song? Obviously, he had plenty of success in his own career, but how does he get his biggest song? You take the guy from Matchbox 20 to sing on it. That's a band I've not listened to, like, at all. I don't really know anything about Rob Thomas, but I think it's funny that they just took... He's the face, and he's the vocalist. But I think this song is just so fun. And it's also funny that it won, like, 4 Grammys or something. This is Smooth, Santana featuring Rob Thomas.
Thank you.
Smooth by, I will say, quick correction, Carlos Santana is Mexican-born, but Santana formed in San Francisco, obviously. American band for the whole of their time. I just won't like that clarity. I think it's also neat that this is, like, 30 years into their... into that band's career, and they're just like, yeah, we're gonna do pop songs now, and then it worked. And they did a song with Matchbox 20 guy that was the final number one hit of the 90s, first number one hit of the 2000s, appeared on two different decade-end Billboard charts, won three different Grammys, was number one for 12 weeks in a row when it did hit. So this could not have been bigger. I don't know why this is funny to me, because I do just genuinely enjoy the song. Anyway, doing a little bit of a... not really that much time passes, but this is a bit of a vibe shift for this next... actually, but... wait, I will... never mind, we'll do that in a sec. We're going to do this song first. It is... It's Stacy's Mom. I don't really know how else to introduce it. It's Stacy's Mom. I would posit that that might be the catchiest song
that we play. Good. I remember being like maybe like 11 or 12, and my friend Jazz is like, you gotta listen to this song. And it's Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, I think when I first heard it as a kid, I thought it was like a joke song.
Yeah,
like,
me
I thought
too.
It was like a meme or something.
I kind of found it when I was entering my little pop punk phase. Mm-hmm. So I really liked it, like, as a genuine song, and also it's silly.
Also, yeah, there's stuff like pretty much all these songs, and I'll just apply it to Stacey's Mom as well. But I think, like, it does take like real, like, high level musical skill to make something that is like really catchy.
Yeah.
Most of the time, because like there's plenty, like, lots of pop songs are gonna try and be catchy, and there's some that actually work, and that takes some amount of like.
Yeah,
in some cases, a lot of skill to like hone.
You have to have like some knowledge of what people might like to. You have to get a good idea of like perception. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
psychology.
Yeah. And it shows in that song where you can just kind of talk about whatever. You can stretch the words. You can go poo instead of writing your lyrics to like fit how many syllables you need in a in a verse, and it just doesn't. If you've got the pieces together, if everything like flows and sounds good and is catchy,
it's
good.
Going on is just like an awesome phrase. Who else has said that and haven't like thought of Stacey's Mom?
I think that also the exact wording of the lyrics, like, even though it's a dumb song, like, it. They do a great job of sounding like that's really how a kid would sound.
Yeah.
Like a kid trying
for
to
sure.
be older and cool.
Right.
But who's very much still a kid.
Right.
Who, yeah. Just like the towel online of just like him clearly just not understanding context.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to read into things. The way she said you missed a spot over there is just a great. I think
yeah.
that's a hilarious line. This next song is, I feel like, almost universally beloved, but I do know people, I have met people that just despise it. It is, but it's Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
I request this song at all the family weddings now. It's been a tradition.
Mm, the tradition is that you ask for it?
I ask for it, and then we all go crazy. I remember I did it first at my... Well, I guess it's only been two weddings, but I did it first at my cousin Colleen's wedding, and I was actually in the bathroom when it started playing, so it was like an hour, hour and a half after I requested it. And, like, literally my... This is, like, a women's bathroom, and, like, my brothers and my, like, male cousins come in and be like, Hannah, Mr. Brightside's playing! And we all run upstairs and go dance to it. It was great.
Well, if it's... I feel like that's perfect for to be on this playlist. It has to be someone Georgia said when I talked about it pre-show. She said these are Glee songs, but I feel
yeah.
like White Wedding also.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. That and like these, a lot of Pitbull.
These could be played at not all of them. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily recommend Stacey's Mom.
No.
There or Third Eye Blind, but as a general rule, that stuff is. Anyway, enough preamble. Mr. Brightside.
Numbers to think about. American causes of death. In 2021, the last year for which comprehensive figures are available, 69 people in the United States were struck by lightning and 11 of them died. Motor vehicle crashes caused 42,915 deaths. 47,646 Americans committed suicide. Gun violence killed 48,830 people. Diabetes was listed as a direct cause on 103,294 death certificates. More than 106,000 people died from drug overdoses, with more than 70,000 of those from synthetic opioids, primarily fentanyl. And approximately 460 deaths were associated with COVID-19. 460,000 deaths, sorry. Zero people died from overdosing on marijuana. Some numbers to think about. A public service message from WFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Nice pick-me-up little PSA.
Oh, yeah.
From head of there.
They got a little skull and crossbones. It says WMFO on it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about the music, which was the goal of this set. This was part of why I picked these songs. I feel like that wouldn't be as fun for me personally as the DJ if I just let them sit. I like talking about them because some are so easy to hate or easy to love, whatever. So I had some 2010 stuff, but we've pushed that out of the timeline. So we're going to end at the 2000s. We just got a couple more from around this time period. And I think I've actually messed up the chronological order here, which is unfortunate because this next song would have flown maybe better coming after Stacy's Mom, because it's another pop punk classic.
It's right. The chronology is right there.
When did A Fever You Can't Sweat Out come out?
I believe 2005, if not 2004. But I think
Hot Fuzz came out in 2004. Yeah,
yes,
and so the thing on here is wrong. Okay, I was right.
Oh,
I did
awesome.
My research.
Did they think Hot Fuzz came out in 2007?
Well, I think for the logging here, sometimes it's like different versions and re-releases and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, with the it's I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, Panic. It's a disco.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of your favorite songs.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
I do like this album.
It's a song that you like.
A lot. It is.
Yeah. A song from an album that you like.
Yes.
Yeah, you're
Shout
a real
out
Panic
Ryan
fan.
Ross. No.
A
no.
Real Ryan Ross fan.
I'm a real Ryan Ross fan. That's right.
You would not. Just listen to the biggest song.
You've heard me say this enough times. I think you know it's authentic.
I do. All right. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies.
Well, imagine as I'm pacing the pews in a church corridor, and I can't help but to hear. No, I can't help but to hear in exchanging of words. What a beautiful wedding! What a beautiful wedding, says a bridesmaid to a waiter.
Yes,
but what a shame! What a shame, the poor groom's bride is a whore. I chime in with a haven't you people ever heard of? Closing a goddamn door. Well, I'll look at it this way. I mean, technically, our marriage is saved. Well, this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne.
Oh,
well, in fact, well, I'll look at it this way. I mean, technically, our marriage is saved. Well, this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne, pour the champagne. I chime in with the haven't you people
personality. I shut in. Haven't you people ever heard of closing a goddamn door? No, it's much better to face these kinds of things with a sense of hope and rationality.
It was.
That was I Write Sins Not Tragedies, Panic at the Disco. We just have a few minutes left here. Really not much time at all to play this next one, Viva La Vida. But before I do, I just want to thank you all for listening to Hour to Kill. This is Isaac.
And this is Hannah.
You've been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. Keep listening. Stick around for the next set after ours. And thank you for being with us this Monday evening, this Patriots Day.
Yes.
If you ran in the marathon, congratulations.
That's really cool, and I want to do that someday.
If you attended the marathon, that's cool too, but significantly less impressive.
Yeah, way less cool.
Anyway, this is Viva La Vida. Have a good night, y'all.
That was when I ruled.